Welcome to another episode of Castology, the podcast where we tell you
what to listen to.
What to listen to, because we're bossy shits like that.
Obey.
Or we just have good taste.
Well, some of us. Some of us.
Yeah.
One of us. Hey,
one
look.
Which one? Find out next week.
All of us are like, yes, one of us, side-eyeing
I'm
everybody.
I'm willing to admit maybe two and a half fish.
Look, you know, everyone has an off week.
I'll admit one.
One what? Just one that you like?
He's doubling down.
He's doubling down. Yeah, this is the guy who hasn't subscribed to anything that we've suggested, even though he likes it. So,
and he's willing to listen to them all, just doesn't want to subscribe them.
Yeah, no, because he's
I don't need it clogging up my subscribing feed.
No, he'll just go and search for it just so that he has the moral high ground of not having subscribed to anything ever.
Like that. All right, I like culling things, like Facebook friends.
He's like Marie Kondoing his podcast
list. Look.
This does not spark joy. Delete. So, as you may have heard, we recommend podcasts and then the next week we come to the table and talk about them and bitch about other people's, bitch about each other's tastes.
We don't
tastes.
Do a lot of bitching.
Last week we were a bit cranky pants.
A little bit. Mm. I have a few things to say this week.
Okay.
Yeah, I've got some things to say this week. Not like as cranky as I was last week. Zane, I'm looking at you.
Me. So, I have the good taste of the table.
Yeah, yes, darling. I'm patting his head from across the table. Yes, of course it's you.
No, I freely admit that I'm a podcast slut.
I think this week you guys both had excellent taste.
Oh,
thank you.
Excellent.
I might be the weak link this week.
Yes. I mean, what? So, as we normally do, we start with reviewing what we talked about last week and then we'll go on to give you some more recommendations to listen to this week, and hopefully you'll listen along with us and then write to us and tell us what you thought of our
Absolutely.
Tastes. I think that's really important. If you guys ever hear something that you really like, send us a message and go, heck yes, more of this. And if we do something terrible, send us a message going, hell no.
I mean, that's the
best
way to find new podcasts is to find someone else who likes a podcast that you like.
Exactly.
And get them to tell you what else they're listening to.
Exactly. So align your tastes with one of us and we shall show you the way. So last week we brought to the table Ram Dass Here and Now. In a very meditation-y voice. We bought the dollop. And
in a non-meditation-y voice.
In a very non-meditation-y, very American way. Voice. And the dropout in a very documentary-style voice.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm.
So what do we want to talk about
well,
first?
Well, let's rip off the Band-Aid. Let's do Ram Dass Here and Now first.
Oh, darling.
Shall I go first,
Yes,
Liz?
Please do. Please
okay,
do.
So I started listening to Ram Dass and I did not follow your instructions. And go from the very start. I started just with random episode.
Oh, God.
Because this is a podcast that I've been putting off for a while. I have read and listened to a lot about Ram Dass, but I've never got into his podcast because of the content. Well, not, more the delivery. But I didn't get through that first episode. So I went back to the start. I was like, oh, I kept drifting
What happened
off.
In the first episode you were listening to? Was it a more current one? Because if it's a current one, I feel bad for saying this.
It's about halfway through.
But I cannot listen to post-stroke Ram Dass.
That's
it's too slow for me. I just...
Don't you listen to everything at one point?
Yeah, but even that.
Okay, Patrick.
I feel bad.
Pre-stroke Ram Dass was too slow for me. I had to listen to this at twice speed or I was just drifting off and not focusing on anything. Again, I appreciate who he is and what he does and what he thinks about, but this content is not for me. I would much prefer like a redux of his thoughts and opinions rather than this style of him just talking very slowly to a group of people about what happened.
Well, this is the thing. When I sat there and listened to the content and I had to force myself to turn everything off, to stop doing everything, sit down and listen to what he was saying and not just hear it but understand it, I actually liked the content, but the delivery was so, and there were audio, because it's older lectures that have been recorded like years ago, the audio 80s. Content is quite hard to understand sometimes. And I just had this vision of this like culty kind of atmosphere with everyone like going, yeah, oh, I'm cheering. Sure it would have been. If somebody else with a more dynamic voice and presenter's like vibe were to retell his teachings, I would be more into that, because the content I liked, but I found it very difficult because he's so slow.
See, I don't know what it is, but I actually enjoy those rustic sounding recordings of him.
I don't mind recordings. Like I said, like I don't mind. But even his
delivery, I enjoy his delivery.
Do you listen to it sped up though?
Yes, I do.
Yes. Yeah, okay. So,
but before I realized I could speed podcasts up, I was still listening to it.
And then, because I did a bit of research, because I was like, am I just not in the frame of mind for this? Because I am so busy at the moment that I forget to put shoes on that are the same some days. And I thought, okay, maybe it's just my, you know, skittish brain not focusing. And so I did a lot of research, and there's a lot of love for Ram Dass over the internet.
Absolutely.
Like a lot. And so I was like, okay, well maybe it's just me, because this guy has such, like so many people writing reviews going, you know, thank you so much, your chicken soup for the soul, I love listening to your teachings. And it was like this, you know, massive outpouring of affection for this guy. So I thought maybe it might have just been me not dealing with it, the presentation, because I'm so fucking tired. Thanks, insomnia. But yeah, so I get, and I get why there's a lot of love for him when you actually sit down and listen to the values that he's espousing. And a lot of his values I align with very closely. But yeah, too slow for me. I'm too skittish.
Speed that fucker up.
Yeah, look, do you know what? I think I'm going to start listening to Patrick's podcast at 1.7 times so that I can get the full Pat Shearer experience and judge it in that manner, because when I listen to it slowly and carefully like Liz Best, it does not work.
Like
for me.
I tried this at 1.5 and it was still – so I'd done it at 2 and I was like, okay, I can engage with this in a way that I would usually engage with.
You're
a podcast.
You're 1.7, right?
I got 1.7, right. Yeah. I'd like 1.75 for the sake of, you know, not symmetry, but you know what I mean? It's a multiple of 25.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's like important. In quarters. Mm. Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway.
So I don't really have much else to say. Like I can't engage with this podcast. In any meaningful way, unfortunately.
But I think if for those of you out there who are particularly into like spiritualism and mindfulness and those kinds of teachings, I think you will dig this if you are into listening to a podcast for its content rather than its presenter. And I think that's the vibe that I got from a lot of the reviews, because I don't want to turn up here and go, this is a fucking horrible podcast, because it really wasn't. And there's so much love for him out there. So if that's the kind of content that you like, I would give it a go.
I think you'll find it
just wasn't for me.
Yeah. I can also imagine that the spirit in which he's giving these lectures is a very meditative
sort
of experience.
And he is constantly asking the audience to just sit with that for a bit. So it's like the pauses
If you were sitting there,
if you were
in
there,
the
I'm sure it would have made sense as well if you were at the time of the talk.
Even if you were, we've said this before, we do other things while we're listening to podcasts. So if I do that, I'm not listening and taking in, I'm being the most unmindful person.
I know.
I
almost feel like I'm
be.
Cheating on this podcast when I listen to it sped up, because it seems antithetical to the purpose of it in
it
the
absolutely
first place.
Is, Patrick.
But like,
I feel like if I were to put a rug down in my room and just sit there with my eyes closed and listen to this, I think I would get more out of it than what I got. So, on that note, shall we move on to guys who do talk quite fast?
Quite fast.
Quite fast without speeding them up.
And sometimes in Irish accents that they get in trouble for.
So, let's move on to the dollop.
The dollop. What did you guys think?
Now, I have heard so much about the dollop from different podcasts that I've listened to, but never actually listened to the dollop.
Same.
And the problem was the first time I went to listen to The Dollop, I picked a random episode that had a crap load of people talking on it rather than just the one or the two.
Yeah.
And I got so confused as to who was who, I put it down and never picked it back up again.
Was this like a live episode?
It must have been, because I was listening to it and I know so many people who love it. And I was like, oh no, this was like years ago. Well, I've only been listening to podcasts for 2 years. So like this was a year ago, that whole long ago. And I put it down and never came back to it. The episode that Zane recommended to me, which is the history of Domino's Pizza, holy hell, that is way more salacious than it has any right to be. Pizza should not be this interesting, nor criminal, nor like, wow. The head of Domino's Pizza, you guys, was practically a freaking mafia boss.
Yeah. Like, I was just thinking it's got to be mob involved.
But without being in the mob, he just acted like a freaking mobster, and there were like allegations of potential mob ties, but like...
And he kind of played into that story because he wanted that.
Yeah. It was just the sheer...
Domino's.
Yeah, Domino's. It used to be called Dominic's, then he changed it to Domino's. And yeah, the ruthlessness and the number of times that he sold the company when it was shit and bought it back and made it awesome again. It's like he was like, I'm done with this now. Oh, I'm not done with it. Let's come back and I'll make you amazing. And then...
Like an abusive spouse.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. But yeah, they like the one thing I found most fascinating is they were talking about how they used to have like a 20 or half an hour or it's free if it's not hot policy, but they had to discontinue that because so many of the drivers were getting into car accidents because they were speeding to get people pizzas for free because clearly their heat bags are shitter than we are now. Or, you know.
Yeah, no, technology's come a long way.
There also just weren't as many damn Domino's around when he started that policy, I guess. Now there's one on every corner. But fascinating. I loved the way that they would get into a conversation about something and rather than just let it be an aside, they'd actually play out the entire scenario.
They'd latch onto it. Gareth is great with just his like quick fire improv.
So,
this
good.
One they called a reverse dollop, and I thought that maybe meant that the guy who's normally the listener was presenting for once.
Correct. Yes. The reverse dollop is Gareth telling Dave a story.
Yes. Yeah. So I dug that dynamic, especially because Dave seemed incredibly and increasingly surprised with the ridiculousness of how pizza was this complicated.
Those kind of episodes are very few and far between. They usually happen when Dave is like touring or planning to do a special.
Right.
And so Gareth kind of takes a little bit of the workload because Gareth does definitely have the easier job of the two.
Mm.
Yeah. Just sit on stage and make fun of a story as it's told.
I want that as a job.
He's very good at it.
He's very, very good at it.
Yeah.
And I think like that's – the Dollop has kind of invented this formula that so many other podcasts are latching onto and running with. Like even – well, Ain't It Rich is the same sort of like one person telling another person a story and then making jokes about it.
Mm-hmm.
So I gave Patrick
– You gave me Donald Trump. Part A, and then I was so fascinated that I listened to part B as well. Speaking of the mob, so good. Like, yeah, I learned so much. Like all those rumors that you heard with the 2016 campaign and every rumor you've heard basically just expounded upon.
And and I'm saying all public record, like all things that everyone knew.
Mm.
And do they have his tax records in there?
No.
God damn it.
But yeah, like just it's insane.
Yeah.
So insane.
Is it angry making insane or fascinating?
Yet? Well, because I listen to Ram Dass here and now, I don't get angry anymore.
Oh. Maybe this is why I'm such a cranky shit.
No, I was more entertained. Oh, it's anger inducing. But
I mean, if you think about it, it makes you angry. But when you're in the moment.
It's like, you know.
I guess it's comedy.
It's like a skit.
Yeah.
It's like life is a skit.
Yeah. I'm down with
that. We're all in it.
We cope with it by laughing at it and then crying into our wines later.
Yeah. No, it was – and I think like at the end of part one, they're like, where are we at? We're at an hour and a half. It's like, oh, there's so much more. We've got to do a part two. And I was like, yeah, there's just so much shit.
Because part one is mostly just kind of like his – childhood and where his money came from, and like the early disappointment.
But yeah, like it's just.
Did you like it enough to subscribe, Patrick?
I haven't subscribed yet, but that's because my phone ran out of battery just after I finished.
So wait, does this mean you're going to subscribe?
50-50 currently.
Wow.
God.
You have to let us know if you do.
I will. But yeah. I also feel like if I subscribe to one thing, I'm going to have to unsubscribe to another thing. So something I'm
you
going
to have
to.
You don't have to. This is not how the podcast.
Subscribe to The Dollop, unsubscribe to Rumdas.
Good plan.
The people have
but
had
but then I'm going to get angry.
Maybe it's time to get angry, Patrick. Donald Trump is president of the United States. It's time to get angry.
It's past time to get angry. You ain't going to stop him with meditation.
I can't imagine he'll be president for
fingers
much
crossed.
No one could imagine he could be president in the first place. So
I imagined. I was very close to putting a bet on him. He was playing like 5-1.
I could not believe that it would happen. And on the day that it was happening, my heart broke. Like I could not.
I've spoken about it on the Grip Proofs episode that I had to stop life for a bit.
I actually wanted it to happen.
Why?
Because now people are much more aware of how fucked up that system is.
Do you know what? I've been watching American Horror Story.
If it was Hillary, I think people would have been asleep for a lot longer.
Have you watched American Horror Story?
No, I haven't.
So one of the characters in that is a hardcore feminist. And she basically says that her favorite president in the entire world is Donald Trump because of the fact that women have been subservient for so long and men have built up this dam to keep women out of everything. And Donald Trump, with every shitty thing he's saying, is finally chipping away at that dam and
like,
making people
one of the
angry
podcasts
enough.
That I've been talking about for a while and what I will eventually get to is Congressional Dish. And because I feel like I know a lot of the dirty secrets. I feel like Donald Trump is, if anything, just exposed a lot of that.
Yeah. On that note, shall we talk about another dirty secret? So, guys, what did you think of The Dropout so far?
Do you want to go? I will go.
I haven't finished. Mm-hmm. I do like it. Mm-hmm. I like it a lot. It's angry making.
Oh, yeah.
It's for some reason, I listened to a Bernie Madoff podcast not so long ago. And just this kind of added on top of that. And I just like, I got to that exhausted stage of angry.
Was it the Radiolab thing? Because I'm pretty sure Radiolab did a...
Yeah, it was actually.
Yeah, because I recognize this because I got up to episode 3 and I think they talked to a guy who interviewed Bernie Madoff while he was on the phone. He was phoning him in prison and I was like, I've listened to that because that was a Radiolab thing. And this, reminded me a lot of that. Anyway.
So, It's very well scripted. I'm going to listen to it all the way through. I don't think it has a lot of re-listen value.
No.
Unlike something like Serial does, like you can listen to Serial and then kind of get a little bit more of the flow of what they're doing. I think this is very much more standard documentary style, which I appreciate. I'm going to say I appreciate that style a lot more because I think I mentioned when we reviewed Serial that I took a little bit of issue with the editorial voice that they had in Serial.
Yeah.
I think that is less present in The Dropout. And so I really like it. Yeah, and I highly recommend it if you are interested in this sort of culture of capital, this capital culture and like massive money, how massive money works in the US at the moment. Very interesting.
What about you, Patrick?
Yeah, I agree wholeheartedly with Zane. Loved this. I am 3 episodes in and I will finish because I want to see how this ends.
It doesn't
and it's just,
yet.
Oh, it doesn't. So as in this is a continuing
it's
thing.
It's done, but the story continues because there are still ongoing
true.
Issues. But I can't remember which episode it was in, but has episode 3 gotten to her questioning yet? Because they actually play...
I haven't heard a whole lot from her. Yeah. There's a little bit from her, but
were you shocked at how damn deep her voice was?
Yeah, I was.
My God. Hello, I'm Elizabeth Holmes. Yeah. Let me explain. Everyone calls you crazy when you've got an idea. Like, no, what?
No, just you.
Just you. We're just calling you crazy.
We're just calling you crazy. Crazy pants. Yeah, no, later on they play parts of her interrogation and questioning and she says, I think they say at one point, she says, I don't know, 630 something times throughout her deposition. I can't recall. I don't know. You're running a company and you don't know.
I think that's a cold, calculated individual.
Mm. So you're of the cold, calculated.
Oh, yes.
Not the she 100%. Had a dream. And yeah.
Yeah.
Just the wish. It's that weird narcissistic, charismatic.
It's also off the back end of listening to the Trump thing and how he had Roy Cohn on board and like she's got lawyers like Roy Cohn telling her what to fucking say. Like
yeah.
She is calculated.
Yeah. Ugh. So how about we take the opportunity to go into next week's recommendations?
I will start
because I have a reader submission, a listener submission. I don't know what people do with podcasts. Apparently they read them now. I've got a listener submission of the Sugar Baby Confessionals.
Ooh.
Ooh. Now, Zane pointed this out to me as something that would be a very...
So I will say... I've listened to some of it.
Yeah.
And I was very impressed.
Well, yes, this is because this was one of the ones where Zane listened to the slush pile and went, Liz, I think this is up your alley. I think you should recommend this to the group. And I must have been about 15 minutes into the first episode when I texted Zane going, oh, yeah, I'm into this. So as the name would suggest, the Sugar Baby Confessionals is basically the host, Sarah, talks to a friend of hers that they give the pseudonym of Ruby.
Yes.
And she is a married woman who has decided to become a sugar baby. And so it kind of starts out before she's actually gone and done it. And she talks about getting prepared for the dates and how she chooses men to go on dates with and what her husband thinks about it. But before this, she, you know, admits that she and her husband have a fairly adventurous and open relationship and sex life anyway. And I really connected with it because I feel like I have a very similar point of view to this as the host, Sarah.
Mm-hmm.
So she describes her – I mean, I don't agree with the whole vanilla. She describes her sex life as vanilla and I'm kind of like, maybe caramel. But she is very worried for her friend and coming at it from a, okay, I just want to know like why you want to do this. And without judging her, manages to kind of – get across that she's worried and but at the same time genuinely want to know more about this lifestyle and about why she's chosen to do it and about, you know, if it's working for her and why, what if it does work for her, what is it that works for her? And I found, and I've always wanted to know what pushes people into this, especially people who are like married and in relationships. Mm. And I just found it a really fascinating look. I think I'm about 4 episodes in because I have a really busy life.
Life is hard.
But yeah, but I'm 100% digging it and I have absolutely no hesitation in recommending it. Mostly because it's very open about sex and I think that their catchphrase when I was doing a bit of research on them is one way or another you always pay for sex.
Yeah.
So it was, you know, it's kind of, you know, talking about whether, you know, is it sexy? Is it scary? Is it fun? Is it... You know, and just hearing the story as someone's progressing through this particular lifestyle, you can kind of hear, I just like listening to the journey of like rather than someone who's a professional sugar baby who's been doing this for years, just like the trepidation and the excitement and the...
And going through the journey with them, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. So that's my recommendation for this week. It was a submission and I think you should all listen along and tell us what
so
you thought.
So was this submitted by the actual people behind it or just someone
I believe
who
so,
was,
yes. Okay. I think
by,
Zane,
by the hosts.
Right.
Yeah. Very cool. I think Zane said that he's like now friends with one of them.
Yeah, well, no, we had a good chat on email just basically nerding out about podcasts like they love Paul F. Tompkins and so they really loved the Adventure Hour, the Thrilling Adventure Hour. They'd never heard of that before. So yeah, we had
how
a
do you
chat.
Love Paul F. Tompkins and you've never heard of Thrilling Adventure Hour?
Well, he kind of hit after the Thrilling Adventure Hour and so he's gone on to do other things and he's got Spontaneous Nation now.
But yeah, because I align fairly closely in what my thoughts were with Sarah, I was just – and she was asking all of the questions that my journalist brain was going, what about this, what about this, what about this? So I think she delved into it really well and that's what I'm suggesting.
And so that's a – it's a start from the start and
– Yeah, because it's a journey, it's very much a start from the start because it's all – it's a cereal. It's a sugar baby cereal basically. So if you don't start from the start, you'll be in the middle.
Absolutely.
Logically. So Patrick.
Me?
What are you bringing to the table?
This particular week, I would like to bring the Psychedelic Salon. It's not quite as slow as Ram Dass Here and Now, although I suppose it could be. I mean, if you couldn't get enough of old tapes from the 80s of men who could potentially be interpreted as cult leaders talking to other spiritually minded people, then... buckle in.
I mean, we're not saying that Patrick has a very specific kind of taste in podcasts.
I just love Terrence McKenna, and this is like an archive of his words. But it's also not all about Terrence McKenna. The host, his name is Lorenzo. He's an old psychonaut from the 60s.
Right.
You know, and he just wants to archive and maintain a lot of these old talks and current talks as well, because he goes to Burning Man now, and I think it's called the Palenque Nortum talks, and there's also the Esalen Institute, which is, you know, where a lot of psychedelic research happens. So he goes and gets current talks, and he also gets some of the old stuff from like Timothy Leary and Terrence McKenna, who some of you may or may not know, but
no,
perhaps we'll know.
Who is
after.
Terrence McKenna?
Terrence McKenna is sort of in a similar vein to Ram Dass as being one of the psychedelic revolutionaries. I didn't think he came onto the scene quite as early. He sort of hit his stride in the 90s and late 80s. Mm. But yeah, a 20th century philosopher who has a vocabulary that I envy above probably anyone else, and is just very switched on, and did a marvelous articulation of the psychedelic experience. And actually, because I'd had psychedelic experiences before I'd heard him, and then when I heard him talk about it, I was like, oh, okay, there's something more to this that I'm not quite getting, because I was kind of just taking mushrooms with my friends and laughing at shit on the wall. But
wait, literally?
Oh, no. Not fecal matter, no. Okay. But then after I'd heard him, you know, talk the way that he does, there's another layer to it. There's something deeper that's, you know, got Ram Dass started on the path to his spiritual journey, I guess. And yeah, I just found him very interesting and engaging and useful, and it's helped shape the way I think. So now I'm going to indoctrinate everyone else.
Sorry, cult leader, did you say?
No, what?
So what episodes do you recommend that we listen to?
Well, I recommend, like, they'll be in the program notes, ones that are Terrence McKenna's talks. There's one that I remember specifically called The Angel and the Monkey, where he talks about, well, he's got a theory called the stoned ape theory, which is how humans may or may not have evolved alongside psychedelic mushrooms, because it increases visual acuity, so it would help with hunting, and then it increases also promiscuity, so it would have helped with mating, and then at very high doses it can induce like a spiritual experience. So
because we all know that monkeys need help with mating.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, mm. Some of them anyway. Maybe they should give these to pandas actually.
Well, yes, maybe less.
They're struggling. It's almost like they want to go extinct.
All right. So there will be specific episodes in the show notes, or just anything Terrence McKenna.
Yeah, well, that's the reason I subscribe to it. But also, yep. Like some of the more recent stuff from Burning Man, like Rick Doblin would be on a couple of times. He is the head of an association called MAPS, which is the Multidisciplinary Association for Psychedelic Studies, which has a lot of interesting information about MDMA-assisted psychotherapy and what's happening right now in terms of regulation for psilocybin-assisted psychotherapy and LSD-assisted psychotherapy. You might learn about the history of why these substances have been illegalized and how they're sort of creeping back into the mainstream now, because this information is getting out.
Cool. Well, we'll listen to that. And with that, we will move on to Zane.
Okay. I have a user submission.
Okay.
This one, I don't anticipate either of you loving, but it is an example of a kind of podcast that I want to see more of. So I want to give them this platform to kind of push them out. It's very specific to a very specific niche, but it's very done in a very mindful way that I really appreciate. So it is called Challenging Behaviors, and they are a relatively new podcast. Time of recording, I think they've only got 16, 17 episodes up. But they're about – it's done by three guys who all work in various ways with people with disabilities or learning difficulties. And so it is about challenging the way that society – view and engage with people with disabilities and learning difficulties, whether that is through interviewing people who have these disabilities and what it's like, or like focusing on dyspraxia or dyslexia, one of the first one episodes I listened to, which I'm going to assign to Liz, was just an interview episode with RJ Mitt, who has cerebral palsy. He was in Breaking Bad. Mm-hmm. He was son in Breaking Bad. So they are just getting started. There are some audio issues, but they are getting better. And in the Frank Turner episode, which I think I've recommended to Pat, mm-hmm. There is a little bit there because it is mostly done over the phone. But I think this sort of podcast and is going to be seen more. The kind of podcast that fits into a niche that nothing else fits into. I think there is not – there. At least I haven't heard of any podcasts or any big podcasts that talk about disability in a real world sense, about people who work with disability and are making a podcast for people with disability or to help people without disabilities understand it. So this is why I'm recommending Challenging Behaviors. They also submitted through our website, and so – I don't know if you will subscribe. I have subscribed because I was surprised with how much I engaged with the content. And I hope that they keep improving because, it's not the Savage Lovecast for disabled
but
people.
But I think what better medium for something like that than a podcast?
Absolutely.
You know.
Podcasting is democratizing information. So I think these guys are – Pardon?
Except for the deaf.
Well, no, even then, transcribing is becoming more and more common.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a big push, and like as soon as I can afford it, I will be doing it to all of our podcasts as well.
Subscribe to our Patreon. No, do we have a Patreon?
We don't have a Patreon, but there are a number of podcasts on the network that do. But yeah, so definitely making it. And that's something that they discuss as well, is how to make media that is being consumed by everyone except these people with various disabilities, how to make that approachable to them as well. Because usually when you say that everyone's listening to, you're immediately excluding deaf people. Mm. So, yeah, I'm recommending Challenging Behaviors.
Now, I know you said that you weren't sure if we would like that, but that sounds like something.
I'm not sure whether you would love it in the way that you love like Serial or
Yeah, but that's like a deep obsession. Like I can still love something without being highly obsessed with it.
Yeah, and like I'm not highly obsessed with this podcast, but I really appreciate what they're doing, and I was surprised with how much I engage with the content that they were producing. So yeah, that's why I picked them to put them on.
Okay, well, those are our recommendations for this week, guys. You should listen along with us. So have a listen to those three. What were they? Sugar Baby Confessionals, Challenging Behaviors, and Psychedelic Salon. And then write in. Tell us if you think that we have awesome taste or terrible taste. And tell us what you want to hear more of, because we don't do this for ourselves. We do this to recommend to you, because so many people are like, what podcast should I listen to? So
Absolutely. If
you tell us if you agree with something or disagree with something, we know what to give you more of. So on that note, we are on Facebook, we are on Instagram, we are on Twitter under Castology or Castology Podcast, I think, for some of them.
Yes.
Also, you can write into our website, which is thatsnotcanon.com
/Castology.
Castology. I can never remember if there's a .au at the end of it. No. Castology.
And email at castology@gmail.com.
We've got a super handy form on our website where you just have to, you know, type a little few things in and hit enter if you want us to listen to something. And Zane,
less than 5 minutes.
Zane will go through the pile and tell us which ones are worth listening to, or at least flag it if he thinks it's interesting, and then we'll jump in.
But it's a fun job. I enjoy it.
Yeah. Look, honestly, if I had more time, I would be diving headfirst into that slush pile. But my life, I can't human.
My one real complaint about the slush pile is that I don't have time to seek out and listen to all the podcasts that I just stumble across.
Ah, yes.
I just have to listen to the ones that come through.
The ones that come through. So, yes, you can control it by sending the things through that you think you want Zane to hear, because he can't listen to anything else. So, guys, we have been your castologist. I am Liz Best, and to my right is...
I'm Zane C. Weber.
And across the table from me today is...
Because we've changed seating arrangement.
It's very weird. I don't deal well with change. Pat's normally next to me. And no, actually, I quite like being able to look at you rather than doing an like an awkward side hustle. Yeah. So I kind of like this new arrangement.
But anyway, I'm Pat Shearer.
He is Pat Shearer, and we have been Castology. Goodbye.
Bye.
What's your favorite TV show?
What's your favorite movie?
Do you think The Godfather is overrated?
Then you've tuned into the right place. I'm Shane.
I'm Josh.
I'm Chanstar.
And we're the Mighty Motion Picture Rangers. In-depth discussions on movies and TV. There's interviews, commentaries, and more top 10 lists than you can imagine. It's all available at the Mighty Motion Picture Rangers, available wherever you get your podcasts. Also available at thatsnotcanonproductions.com.